want to speak a message today that the Lord placed upon my heart. It came to me earlier in the week. And so I would like for you to get your Bibles and turn to two portions of Scripture. Firstly, if you can turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is in the New Testament. It is one of the Apostle Paul's letters. The book of Philippians is actually right before Colossians, and it is right after the book of, I think it's Ephesians, okay? So in between Ephesians and Colossians is the book of Philippians. And you can turn to chapter 4, put a marker there, and then I want you to turn in the Old Testament. You put a marker in Philippians chapter 4, then turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the major prophets. And I'd want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. So firstly, Philippians chapter 4, then put a marker there, because we will return to that portion later on. But firstly, we want to be in Isaiah chapter 26. And as you're turning there, getting ready, I want to speak with you a message that I believe is very important for this day that we are living in. And so I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Let's read this verse together and then we will begin. It says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." I'll read it from my version. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And I want to speak with you for a few moments this morning on the subject of perfect peace. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to express your heart to this, your people. I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak, as well as the anointing upon your people to hear what you are saying. I pray, Lord, that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, give this word life, that it wouldn't go in one ear and out the other, but that it would go into our hearts, and that that implanted word would begin to bear fruit in our lives, Lord, both throughout the week and throughout the rest of our lives. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and we ask for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, for speaking to us already in the service. And we ask that, Lord, through your word, you would speak again. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. The scripture in Isaiah is a wonderful scripture. I can still remember the very first time as I was reading through the Bible when I was barely first saved. I began to have such a hunger and such a desire for the Word of God. But I began to read the Bible and I read through the New Testament. I remember when I first got saved. For those that don't know, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior after hearing evangelist Billy Graham on television one night many, many years ago. I remember hearing from his ministry to begin reading the Bible in the book of John, which I was, of course, ready to do and did. I began to read the book of John. I began to read the New Testament. And then I began to read through the Old Testament, starting in Genesis all the way through. And I can still remember as I was coming through Isaiah, and I remember this verse, and it was one of those verses I put to memory immediately, because it's such a powerful verse. We're living in a world that there's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of threats. There's a lot of things that can come on the news channels or even into our own lives that can disturb us. But this scripture gives a powerful promise, and it's talking about perfect peace. It says that he would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. And it's talking about an important part of your and my relationship with God. Because our relationship with God is not something that we enjoy or we partake in only on Sunday mornings. Our relationship with God is something that we have 24/7, 7 days a week, to be honest with you. We gather together and we fellowship with one another in church because the Bible says for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We derive strength from one another. We find joy in each other's presence. There is nothing more beautiful than coming together with people that are like-minded as ourselves. And so we gather together on Sundays, even as the word that was just spoken moments ago, this is the Lord's time. This is a time that we come to Him and we worship Him for who He is and because we are grateful for who He is. Amen? We come together to love on Him and allow Him to love on us. But our relationship with God is such that the Lord has said He will give us and keep us in perfect peace. And what's so interesting is that it says He will keep us in perfect peace as our mind is stayed on Him. That word, mind and stayed, is actually the environment where God will give us perfect peace. But I'm here to tell you that your enemy, Satan himself, is going to try to distract you and try to get your mind away from keeping your mind on the Lord Himself. He's a master at distraction. He's a master at putting things in our way to distract us from our serious relationship with God. He's a master at it. He's been doing this kind of work for over 6,000 years, to be honest with you. Because He knows that a man or a woman whose mind is stayed on the Lord is actually not only going to partake of God's perfect peace, but is actually in God's protection no matter where they go. And so the Lord is giving us a promise, but He's saying something in regards to our mind stayed on Him, and it is this, is that when we are going through situations, He wants to keep our minds in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on Him in this way. When it says that our minds are stayed on Him, it's actually wording that describes a city that is actually fortified or protected by a wall. That city is protected so that that city can't have any intrusion of the enemy. There is no threat from the enemy able to come in because that city or town, or may I say that individual, is protected by God. And it says, if we keep our mind stayed on Him, it is as if our lives are kept in perfect peace, as if a whole garrison of army personnel was guarding over you. You see, if you were to go and be in the world and you knew that you were protected by people all around you, you're not going to fear anyone. You're not going to fear to go to any place. Amen. Because if you know you are protected, there is peace. You know there is preservation. You know that there is nothing that can harm you. And when the Bible describes the one that has perfect peace, it's describing the individual that is in such a relationship with God, whose mind is continually upon the Lord Himself, that you are protected so much so that there is nothing that is able to destroy or aggravate your peace. He wants to give you and me perfect peace. You see, we're living in a world, like I've stated already, where there are threats all around us. What can happen if there was a nuclear bomb created to reach the U.S. from North Korea? It can cause concern, can't it? But if we are in perfect peace, it won't move us. It won't rock our boat because we know God's got everything under control. Amen. And when we know God got everything under control, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of what the enemy tries to do to hurt us or harm us. We can know that God will keep us. But there are times when things can come into our lives that will trouble us, and we can begin to fall prey to fear. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, and you can read this later. But in 1 John 4:18 it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not perfect in love." And there are times that things can cause us to grow and to have fear. Sometimes we can even have an unhealthy fear of God. Sometimes we can be afraid that God wants to expose us or that God wants to reveal the deepest, darkest thing that we've ever done and let everybody know about it. But I'm here to tell you, God's not out to hurt you nor harm you. Amen. I remember, and I know what I'm talking about. I remember being in the company of men of God like David Wilkerson or his associate pastor Carter Conlon from Times Square Church, or even the president of the school that I was a part of, Sister Catherine Logan. These individuals were, in my perspective, like generals in the kingdom of God. They had such a relationship with God that there was a fear of God in them. And sometimes there would come places where I would even have this fear that if I was to come into their presence, their eyes see right through me or right in me, and as if God's going to expose me of some kind of wrong, even if I didn't do it. An unhealthy fear. And sometimes we can have an unfounded fear. Fear that causes us not even to go to sleep at night because we're afraid. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. If you will keep your heart and your mind stayed upon the Lord, He will give you perfect peace. You don't have to be afraid. The Bible says there is no fear in love. And I'm telling you this, when you know God, He will take away all your fear. Because the Bible says God is love. He loves you. And He is the one that will take away all fear. The book of Philippians chapter 4, let's turn there now, describes peace, and it also describes the kind of peace that you and me can have and enjoy as children of the living God. But I want you to see how the Apostle Paul brings out the same thing and how it can apply to our lives. You see, if what we say in church or if what I say in the sermon time doesn't have any bearing during the week, then really it's of no value. But the Word of God is very practical. It is something that you and I can exercise and we can have to be had in our lives, what we can practice. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, we find the Apostle Paul. During this time, Paul, his circumstances were pretty rough. He is now in Rome, and he is under house arrest. That means that he was chained to a Roman official in a hired house. It's like a rented house there in Rome. He was not free to go in or out on his own. Wherever he went, he was chained to a Roman official that went with him everywhere. It was so bad that he wasn't even able to go to the bathroom alone. He was never alone. And you can imagine those circumstances. But did that stop Paul? You know what? It didn't stop him. It's amazing. The book of Philippians is known as Paul's epistle of joy. And it's amazing that in that situation, being under house arrest, where he could easily complain and say, God, why do you have me here? It's in that place he's writing epistles like Ephesians, Colossians. He even wrote Philemon, as well as Philippians there under house arrest. His life with God was steadfast. And so when you think about Paul in those circumstances and what he's about to say here, I want you to understand that it doesn't matter where we find ourselves, in good times or bad, difficult times or easy times, that if we will do what he says here and what we've already heard in Isaiah, God will give you and me perfect peace. Let's begin to read at verse 6. Look what it says here. It says, be anxious for nothing. That means don't have anxiety about everything. Don't be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with gratitude, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. It's interesting how it talks about hearts and minds. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will protect your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And look how he makes it practical in verses 8 through 9. It says, finally, brothers or brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. Do those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The world may get worse. The circumstances around us may not be going like we would like them to be. But even in the midst of the storm, he's able to speak peace. Amen? Y'all remember when Jesus and his disciples were on that stormy sea and Jesus was asleep in the boat? They feared their lives were going to be lost. And they said, "Lord, don't you even care? Save us." And the Bible says the Lord spoke to that wind. And when he spoke to the wind, a great peace and calm came over the sea. You see, our circumstances can cause us sometimes to fear and to be afraid. But if you will begin to do, even as Paul the Apostle is mentioning here, begin to remove those things that cause the fear and begin to replace those things with those things that are good, God will help you to walk in this perfect peace. But it comes first by prayer. Amen? You'll notice there in verse 6, he says, "Don't be anxious about everything, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with gratitude, make your requests known to God." And as you pray, and you say, "Lord, help me through this," you give him your burdens, you give him those things that are troubling you, the Bible says the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? So there needs to be prayer. There needs to be that place where we will seek God and ask God for his intervention. But the practical side is removing those things that cause us to think about things that are not good. There is a power, listen to what I'm about to tell you, to thinking positively rather than negatively. And Paul is saying, think on those things that are of good report, that are pure, that are lovely, that are just. You all hear that? And so we need to do what is necessary to get out of our hearts and our minds, or whatever it is that is causing us to be distracted and actually in fear. Listen to me. Sometimes it can be that we're around a bunch of young kids, or we're, I remember when I was young, you know, you get around young people and they begin to tell scary stories. And then all of a sudden, you're scared and afraid. Anybody been there before? So then that night, it's hard to sleep because you're afraid. You can't even walk outside because of fear. But I'm here to tell you, we don't need to be talking scary stories. Amen? We should be putting our mind set on the heart of God. And God's with me. God's with me. God is with me. Amen. And think on those things that are pure and lovely, of good report. If we're reading things we shouldn't be reading and they're causing us to question God or even to question the things of God or make us afraid, don't read those things. If someone is around us just discouraging us, and don't get around them. We've got to get to the place of the practical side of thinking on things that are of God and not on those things that are of this world. You see, the world wants to destroy our faith. Let me bring it home to what happened to me. When I was going into ninth grade, going into high school, I don't remember if it was when I was going into high school or if it was the summer in between my freshman year and sophomore year. I just know it was ninth grade. And I remember at that point in my life, hanging around with family members and what have you. And I remember at that season in my life, at that age of my life, as is typical for the most part, there was a lot of my own classmates, even my own brother and others, they were beginning to fool around with drugs and alcohol. The party scene seemed to be attractive. And I remember at that point in my life, there came the point where I was out there sometimes at the party scene. I wasn't partying. I never drank. I never did any drugs. But listen to what I'm about to tell you. I remember there was a time when I, with a few other guys, began to want to experiment with marijuana. And there's some people that say, "Oh, why would God be against that which is natural?" And so we found a roach somewhere, and so we decided to try it. And so I remember after we tried to smoke a roach, not literally a roach for those that don't know what that is, it's that little piece of a remaining marijuana joint, right? So I remember we were all there trying to smoke it, and I, as far as I know, I smoked it right, they smoked it right, they began to act stupid, and it didn't do anything to me. I didn't get stoned, I stood there looking at them acting stupid, and I said, what's wrong with you all? Then we tried again another time, and it didn't affect me. I didn't get anything. It didn't affect me. And so they were all, you know, so I'm like, well, I would like to feel like they're acting. You know, I was thinking it was going to be good. The third time we tried it, well, Pastor James, why didn't you just say no? I mean, you're telling us you should have said no. Maybe I would have if I was in church and someone told me to say no. But I wasn't there. I was a young Roman Catholic boy, and we didn't even go to Catholic church. You all hear what I'm saying. And so I'm just following the crowd like typically is happening. The third time we tried it again, and I don't know if that thing was laced with something or if it was just plain old marijuana, I don't know. But I remember after trying that one, it seemed like I got hit with such anxiety, with such fear, that I thought I was going to lose my mind. And I'm serious. I literally was overcome by this sensation, and I felt like if something else was controlling me in a way, and boy, it was the worst feeling that I would never recommend anyone to have. And I thought I was losing it. I was afraid of dying. I thought, what is this? And you know, whenever someone takes a hit or somebody gets stoned, it lasts for a season and it should go away, right? But I remember after messing around with that and after everybody else is done and having munchies, I was afraid and I was losing it, and it lasted through the next day, and all of a sudden this fear kept over me and this oppression and this wickedness was over me for literally months. And I was afraid and I didn't know what was going on with my life. I hated it. I was tormented. I wouldn't recommend this kind of thing to anyone. It was horrible. I thought I was losing it, and I didn't want to die because I knew if I died, I knew there was a heaven and a hell, but no one was telling me how to get to heaven, so I was tormented. It was horrible, day in, day out. It was like on a nice sunny day like this, it was like a darkness was over me. It was horrible. And I remember going through a horrible time. I would try to explain it to my mother. Thank God for our mothers. But when she saw me and I would try to explain it to her, I think she thought, what's wrong with you? I think she probably was afraid. My son is losing it. And so I remember one day I was trying to explain what I was feeling, this horrible stuff. She said, well, James, read the Bible, pray, and God will help you. And I remember I heard her and I got our big family Bible. It was a Roman Catholic family Bible, big and thick with pictures. And I remember I would begin to read that Catholic Bible, and I'd read it every day. I'd read chapters, wasn't understanding anything, but I started to read and I started to pray as best as I knew how. And it didn't leave. I was still struggling, but then I remember that night. I was flipping through the television channels and there was evangelist Billy Graham preaching the gospel. And I realized my need for a Savior. And I remember that night I got on my knees on my bedside with my long hair and all. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of the Savior. I repent. I turn to you with all of my heart. And I was saved. Amen. Born again. I remember I got rid of t-shirts. I got rid of books I had. I burned them in the trash can we had outside. But you may be asking, well, did all that stuff leave immediately? No, it didn't. It didn't. There was peace in my heart, but I was still struggling with this, whatever it was. I can't explain it. But then, being saved, I began to go outside and I would walk with my Jesus. And I would talk to him about it. And I would read the word and I would pray over it, and God began to reveal himself to me. God began to open up the Word, and the Word was now coming into my heart and into my mind. The Bible makes very clear that the Word of God is the implanted Word. It's the washing of water by the Word. This Word will cleanse your mind. It will cleanse your heart. And before you knew it, as I was walking with God and I'm growing in my relationship with Him, over time I began to notice that now I was overcoming those things with the power of God and the Word of God. And before you knew it, whatever it was, as I would feel it want to grip me, it would be overcome by the Word of God. That anxiety would leave at the Word of God. Amen. So what are you saying, Pastor James? It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. It says here clearly that if we will pray, that peace which passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But it also brings in the point where you and I need to be a people of the Word of God. Read the Word. When that fear tries to come, read the Word and pray. And God will help you through it. He wants to give you perfect peace. And the more you know your God and you walk hand in hand with your Master, the more that you will know His peace. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Amen? And He wants to reveal Himself to you. Don't ever think that, well, He wants to reveal Himself to everybody else, but not me. No, you. You. He doesn't favor young or old, black or white. He loves everyone. Amen? And He loves you with an everlasting love, the Bible says. And so today I wanted to speak with you about perfect peace. We don't know what the year 2018 can bring to us. Some of those things can rattle us a little bit. But if you will keep your eyes upon Jesus, even as the word was spoken earlier, and you keep your mind stayed on Him, He will give you peace even in the midst of turmoil. Amen. He's bigger, He's stronger, and He's able to bring you through. Praise the Lord. Let's stand today.